Malachi, whose name means my messenger, was one of the last prophets of the Old Testament. And he lived around the time of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, which means more or less that he lived around the year 450 BC. But things weren't very good at that time. It was a very troubled time, and because of that, Israel was drifting away from God. And that's what Malachi wants to address, Israel's faithlessness in the midst of its troubles. Because consider the situation that we find ourselves in. About 130 years before the days of Malachi, in the year 587 BC, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. They came in, they took all of the Israelites away, carried them off into exile, and destroyed the temple. But about 50 years after that, in the year 538, Babylon itself would fall to the Persians. And under the rule of the Persian king Cyrus, everything was put back together. And it was Cyrus who sent the Israelites back to their home, told them, go home, rebuild the temple. And that's exactly what they did. And they were done by the year 515 BC. It was a very exciting time to be in Israel because everything seemed to be going pretty well, right? They're going home. They're seeing God's promises kept. Everything is going just fine. Except it wasn't. Because things weren't quite what they used to be. If only because there was no longer a king in Israel. The sons of David were not sitting on the throne. They were subject to the Persians. They had to listen to the Persian king in everything. And so it seemed like it wasn't quite as good as before. And on top of that, living among them were all kinds of foreigners. Canaanites and even other nations put there by the Babylonians and even the Persians. So in their homeland, the Israelites didn't even have control of everything. And on top of that, too, many of the Israelites had no desire to come home at all. We learn that from the book of Esther. They were living all across the Persian Empire, and many of them said, well, we just don't care. We don't want to go back to Jerusalem. We're quite happy where we are. So things were not going quite like they wanted them to. It seemed like the good old days, the glory days, were long gone. And as a result of that, Israel was pretty discouraged, disheartened, and disillusioned about all of it. And because they were discouraged, they fell further and further into sin. They weren't really paying attention to what God had to say. They were even marrying the pagans without any concern of the truth of their religion. They were basically indifferent towards God. They didn't really care anymore what he had to say. And so Malachi comes to them to bring them the word of God, to call them back from their indifference and point them to the Lord. That's the basic heart of this whole book, to speak against the indifference of Israel and to call them back to God. So Malachi begins his book then by pointing Israel to the love of God. And the reason why he does that is because by showing them God's love, that will be a contrast to their own lack of love. God's faithfulness will show how they have not been faithful. And so in this way, he wants to point them towards what God has done as a way of calling them back to himself. So Malachi begins, I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Israel was saying basically, well, how, Lord? How have you loved us? Because we can't see it. Everything seems to be pretty lackluster. It just isn't quite what it used to be. We're tired of dealing with all of this evil. If things were better, it'd be a lot easier to see how you loved us. But when things are pretty hard, we're just not quite sure. So how, Lord, how have you loved us? God answers that question by saying, is not Esau Jacob's brother? And Esau, of course, was the twin brother of Jacob, Jacob being the father of the nation of Israel. And if we wanted to consider these two boys from a human point of view, they're basically the same, right? They have the same father. They're born at pretty much exactly the same time because they're twins. They grow up in the same way, so there's really nothing to distinguish the two of them. But, and for that reason, Edom, who are the descendants of Esau, could also claim from a human point of view to be God's people, right? Because if it was a matter of just being descended from Isaac, there's really no difference between the two. Edom and Israel alike are brother nations, so why one and not the other? Well, God says, yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. So the difference between the two of them then was that God chose Jacob. God elected Jacob to be his own and chose him to have faith in him. Now, Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 9, explains this in a little bit more detail when he says, when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And so in other words, what Paul is saying here is that the reason why God chooses Jacob is not because of Jacob, right? There's nothing that Jacob has done to make him lovable in the eyes of God. Even before he was born, Paul says, before they had done good or bad, God chose Jacob for himself. And that's what made him different from his brother, because the Lord gave him his love by choosing him even in eternity, to have faith in him and to come to him and believe in him. And in that way, we see the depth of God's love, because it was not because of who Jacob was that he had God, that God loved him, but because God chose him. It didn't depend on how good Jacob was. It depended only on God. And Christians, that should bring us comfort in the midst of troubled times too. Because God chooses those who have faith in Jesus Christ. It's not our own choice. It's not our own doing. It's not like we did something that was so lovable that made God choose us to believe in him. But God chose you even before the foundation of the world. Even before you knew who he was, he loved you and called you to come to him. So even when things aren't going the way that we'd want them to, even when things are going quite hard and we are faced with the difficulties and the evils of the world, we don't have to despair, because God loved us and chose us for himself in Jesus Christ. And that is a promise that depends on God and what he has done, and not on what we have done, good or bad. Of course, we might still struggle with that, because that means, of course, that Esau was rejected. Esau, he says, I have hated. Why does God choose one and not choose the other? Well, Paul goes on to talk about this in Romans again when he says, what shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. If we're looking at this from a purely human point of view, it would seem to be unfair, right? Because the two of them are the same. Why does God choose one and reject the other? But we're not looking at this from a human point of view. We're looking at this from God's point of view. What matters is not who Jacob is or who Esau is. What matters is that God has chosen. It is God who has mercy. It is God who brings us to himself. And that mercy which we have in Jesus Christ comes from God and God alone. So we don't have to worry about what is fair or unfair, because God has given us his mercy in his Son. But God also shows love towards Israel in how he deals with Edom, the descendants of Esau. As he says, "I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, 'We are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins,' the Lord of hosts says, 'They may rebuild, but I will tear down, and they will be called the wicked country, and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever.'" Edom had attacked Israel on many occasions, sometimes helping their enemies, sometimes taking advantage of them when they were down. But they had done evil against Israel time and time again. And Israel was probably wondering, well, our brother nation, the Edomites, why have they treated us in this way? It seems so evil. Isn't God going to do anything about it? It seems like they're just going to get away with it. But God says, "I will give you justice. Even though I am the one who has brought down Edom. And even if they try to raise themselves up again, I will cast them down again. Because I will give you justice, Israel. I have not forgotten the things you have suffered. I have not ignored the things you are going through. Every evil is going to be made right. Everything wrong is going to be set right again. Because I am the Lord who has chosen you. I am the Lord who loves you." And Christians, we can see that too. Because when we are faced with all of the evil around us, which makes us wonder where God's love has gone, and makes us wonder, where is God in the midst of all of this? We can look to the Lord, who will give us justice, because he is the Lord who will set all things right. No bad guy is going to get away. There is no evil that will not be judged. Nothing, no injustice that will not be repaid, because God cares for us and loves us. And when he comes to judge the world, both now and in the age to come, we will see that love, because God cares for you and will always care for you, because he has made you his own in Christ Jesus. So Christians, let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Let us not turn aside to doing to evil or to turning away from the Lord. But let us remember that God loves us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he has loved us by choosing us in him and will set all things right. "I have loved you," says the Lord, "by giving you my Son. And whoever calls on Jesus will not be put to shame." Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have called us to faith through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would strengthen us in all things so that we may turn to you in everything, knowing that you will care for us all our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.